Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Movies and a Meal, a podcast where we talk about movies and other things while we eat. I'm your co-host Ben, and as always, I'm joined by Keith.
Hey.
And Brad.
What's up?
Okay, so this weekend we're going to spend our review time to talk about, what is it, Brad?
Godzilla X Kong.
That's what we have decided.
The new empire. We had a 5-minute discussion on this. Yeah. It's Godzilla X Kong, the new empire.
Okay, so our second episode in a row where we did Frozen Empire last week with Ghostbusters, and now we're going to do New Empire this week with Godzilla X Kong. We're excited to talk about that one, I guess. But I guess we'll start on a more serious note. Unfortunately, we lost Lou Gossett Jr., a Academy Award winning, Emmy winning, Golden Globe winning actor, most known for Officer and Gentleman, Roots. You know, on the schlocky side, about 69,000 Iron Eagle movies and sequels.
How many have there been? Seriously, like five?
There's at least three or four, for sure. And, a guy who, was approaching, close to 9 years old, but was still working. I'm sure it was the same for you, Brad, but, when we saw Godzilla times Kong, New Empire, whatever the heck it's called, we saw a trailer for Ryan Reynolds' movie, Imaginary Friend, and he's in there.
I saw he was voicing a character.
Yeah, so. And he's a bunch of other things, but Keith, you wanted to kind of like lead this discussion about Lou Gossett Jr., so.
Well, he's not only one of my favorites, he was probably my mother's favorite actor of all time. She would make us watch An Officer and Gentleman, seriously, every year. And, his Sergeant Foley is one of the great parts of all time. But, Ben mentioned it. The man worked all the time. I looked it up. He had 200 credits. I don't know what the record is, but it'd be close. 12. Count them. 12. And they're still to come. I don't know if those... Some of them were in pre-production, so sadly you won't see those. But we'll see probably 6 of them. That's pretty amazing. And, just this year, he had probably the best scene in all of this sensational Color Purple remake, where Seeley makes her big liberation speech at the table. As old Mr., Colman Domingo got all the love for playing Mr., but that one scene, old Mr. was pure evil, and he was great. My favorite thing that he's done in the last about 5 years, though, a little more than 5 years ago, is he was probably the best thing about HBO's Watchmen. It's Will Reeves. He kind of carried that show, and it's probably, except for The Leftovers, my single favorite HBO show, so he will be very missed.
Not only did he work, but he was still working at a high level. He was nominated for an Emmy for that role in Watchmen.
First time I ever saw Lou Gossett was probably in Iron Eagle, the first one. So I think I saw that on HBO back when we had basic cable, when HBO was considered a basic cable edition when I was younger. So it's a good movie. Like I say, he's a man that he seems like he always carried class and
it's good.
A very very well rounded and very an actor who always gave it his all. Officer and Gentleman was a real good role. Great actor. It's a shame we lost him, but like Ben said, he was near 90, so he lived a full life.
Worked all the way basically up to his passing, and like I said, high level. And it wasn't just like I made a cameo; like he was bringing it. So. Okay, well, let's talk about our the main movie that came out this week, and I think one that probably will dominate the box office, but that movie is Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, the fifth movie in the American Godzilla King Kong crossover series that started 10 years ago in 2014 with Gareth Edwards' original Godzilla and has obviously some subsequent sequels. This movie follows up the 2021 movie Godzilla vs. Kong. The same director, Adam Wingard, some of the same actors, Rebecca Hall and Brian Tyree Henry, and the little girl whose name I can't remember. But
I got it down here. It's
Kaylee Hoddle.
Kaylee Hoddle.
Yeah. Yep. And that's it. And, for the... Dan Stevens was not in the last one.
Okay. He is a new addition.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to remember if he was a new addition.
No, it was Skarsgård. Alexander Skarsgård was in the other one.
That's right.
Well, what's this fifth movie about, Brad?
All right. Summary is always courtesy of IMDb. And I usually read these, whether they be right or wrong. I got a little bone to pick with a certain part of it, but these two gentlemen have poo-pooed it.
Because you're wrong.
No. Oh, two ancient titans, Godzilla and Kong, clash in an epic battle, not really, as humans unravel their intertwined origins and connections to Skull Island's mysteries.
Okay, I mean, it wasn't epic. They did Without spoiling it, I mean,
there was a battle.
We'll get to it. I mean, it's not a spoiler because it's out of context.
This isn't Tokyo last movie.
It had five monsters, Brad.
Yeah. But I would say it did have the best move, one that you appreciated when I won't spoil who, but when one of those guys
did a top rope superplex. Yes, yeah. They did off a pyramid. Yeah, I'll just say that.
Yeah.
So.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. That was good. Yeah. So I'll give them that. So
okay, but, so.
I'll just say this. I mean, this movie is just mind-numbing little plot, big creatures kicking the crap out of each other, and it works. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it in a nutshell. There's some plot, but honestly, why? I mean, it's a movie about Godzilla and Kong, and you get a lot of, especially in this movie, a lot of Kong, and a good chunk of Godzilla, and I mean, just they team up to battle two evil monsters. That's it. All right, guys, for the review. Ready for the review?
Godzilla. If you're a big Godzilla fan, you might feel like you might be getting ripped off. It's very Kong centric, but I think that's because Kong as a primate, you know, he can emote a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You know, it's closer, obviously, to humans, and you know, he's pretty enjoyable with that. But you know, to Brad's point, it's just like the actors there. I love them all, but they're basically there just to explain the plot and kill time until the last half of the movie when we get what we all want to get, which is big monsters punching each other. Mm-hmm. But it is pretty dumb.
I will say this though, Kaylee Hoddle, she's amazing as Gia. She's amazing in this. I mean, it's just, I mean, I love her emoting whenever she's doing either the sign language or the facial movements the reactions. She's amazing in this, and I think her story is probably the best part of the human side of this movie. So
it's by far.
Yeah, it's nice. She has like kind of a two movie arc because she was introduced in the last one. But what about you, Keith?
As we were leaving, you know, Ben said, you called this big dumb fun, and you're right. But it's at least slightly elevated big dumb fun. Yeah, I did appreciate the look of Hollow Earth quite a bit, and I did appreciate what plot there was, kind of the almost archaeological discovery of, I won't say which monster, because we have to take spoilers off, but also, you know, when you put my favorite people in it, you're right, they don't have much to do, but I love Rebecca Hall, Brian Tyree Henry, and, you know, Dan Stevens was at least in on the fun of this. He knew that this was a silly movie, and he had fun. Like I said, I won't say who the other kaiju is, but I loved the Scar King. I thought that whole plot line and it was almost like a Planet of the Apes kind of thing. That was downright scary. I really enjoyed that. That's all before the epic battle, so I might have liked it more than you guys. I had a lot of fun with this. It is dumb, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I had fun, and it's kind of tongue in cheek when I was saying there's a little plot.
There's not a lot.
I mean, it's fine. I mean, and I mentioned Kaylee Hoddle. I love Rebecca Hall's like connection.
Mm-hmm.
Her character Eileen Andrews. I like their connection between the two. It's she's got a motherly affection for Gia, and it's amazing seeing them together. It's just it brings the heft to the human side, because there's a lot of monster battles, comedy, and it brings the emotional side of it too, and it's well done, I think. So.
Yeah, when the G has to make her big decision at the end without any spoilers, it's pretty hard.
Yeah.
You know, for a movie this silly, it actually does work on that level.
Yeah.
I will say the only time it got too silly for me, I love that Dan Stevens kind of was laughing through the whole movie. But there's some scene where he goes and he gets in his vehicle, goes back to base, brings back these winged creatures who do absolutely nothing. That's when it went off the rails a little bit. It was just silly.
They're diversions. I mean,
they were diversion, but it kind of derailed it a little bit. But that's only a minor thing. The rest of it, I thought the plot was pretty tightly plotted for what plot there was. Yeah. It got to the big battle.
I've got
with little diversions.
I've got more nitpicks than that. That one I could kind of understand. Even though there's another thing to happen after that that's kind of numbing. But anyway, mind numbing.
No, I mean, I would just say I agree with you, Brad, that Rebecca Hall, you know, for whatever little underwritten that character is, I mean, she's ringing out the most of it in there. I would just also note how interesting that it's become, you know, like I said, this franchise is 10 years old now. And it's kind of funny to me how far we've come. You know, the first one directed by Gareth Edwards in 2014 with Aaron Taylor-Johnson and Elizabeth Olsen. Yeah. You know, that one is very serious and ponderous. You know, it's that Godzilla movie, I think Gareth Edwards has said basically he tried to do what Godzilla Minus One did. He just wasn't as good in execution. And now, you know, five movies later, we're in Hollow Earth, like people just flying around in spaceships, yeah. And you know, but it's like they understand what the American audience is, and they're just mm-hmm. like, if you want a more serious one, then you know, Godzilla, the Academy yeah. Award winning Godzilla Minus One, yeah. you could do. But if you just want your kaijus punching each other and one of our heroes like grabbing literally another character and like wield him like a nunchuck, I mean, you know, that's what this movie is. Yeah. That's what this yeah. movie is.
And you know, it has its merits. You know, you guys are right, and you're not, I'm not saying you're wrong. You know, we're all right. Godzilla Minus One is a better movie.
It is a better
for what movie. This is really fun.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate the humor of it. And Brian Tyree Henry as the paranoid podcaster. It's very well written, very funny.
No, I feel like he was the most annoying character. Like Brian Tyree Henry, like he just like it, you know, he needs to do more in his career than this. It's like he's just kind of the dumb comic relief.
He does a lot in his career.
He does, but I'm saying that this character for him, it's not doing him any service. He's just like the
he's allowed to be funny.
He's sort of like the podcaster everyman. Holy crap, what is going on here?
He's just,
the government, what's the government hiding? I mean, it's...
He's better than that. He's better than that character.
He should be, but he still plays it well. And I love his connection to Dan Stevens. They've got a lot of bromance movies together. Because Dan Stevens is amazing as like the comic relief Ace Ventura person who's on the crew, who's Trapper's the character name. It's just... I mean, he's either giving literary quotes that seem kind of off-putting and weird, and also being the Johnny-on-the-spot character who's just, like, finding everything, can track everything, can feel things, it seems like, when things don't feel right. It's not Citizen Kane.
No.
And those two... And,
although it's more fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, but Brian Tyree Henry... I didn't even write his character name down.
Tyree. I don't know the character.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Just Brian Tyree Henry. Him and Dan Stevens, I mean, they're the comic relief.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Every man, what is going on here, people?
I mean, the biggest star in this movie is Kong. And honestly, there are long stretches where it's basically silent because Kong is acting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would be okay if it was just no humans. And just, I think you could pull off a whole movie with Kong silent. No. Well, it could be...
you think audiences are going to go for that?
I think it could be ambient, like the radio, like a broadcast kind of thing. But I don't know if you necessarily need Rebecca Hall and them. It just felt like... You know, because he's good. Kong is good in this. He's actually funny.
Yeah. We'll get into it more in spoilers, but I think just his scenes when he's trying to bond with the smaller monkey.
Baby Kong.
Diddy Kong.
Which,
Zuko or something, I think it's called. Zuko?
Where do I got Zuko? It? I wrote it down somewhere.
But
I'm just going to go with Baby Kong.
But I'll buy you some time. But Kong is kind of like a Bruce Willis action movie kind of guy. He's just like, in the beginning when you open, you know, he's being chased and he's got some...
Traps.
Yeah, and like when he defeats what he has to defeat, like he gets like... an animal's blood on him, and you can tell he's annoyed that he's gonna have to shower.
Yeah. There was that in another scene where he's like, hold up,
yeah.
hold up, and then boom.
I will say, you know, I thought Scar King was a pretty fantastic villain. The way that he was put together, you had to have a seriously imposing ape to take on Kong, and it was just really well done.
And it wasn't that he was imposing, he was also agile, which I think adds mm-hmm. to the...
Yeah. And I loved him riding around on his kaiju. It was all very funny.
Well, he was a little bit of a punk because he's like, he was. I think one on one, Kong is superior, but then he has to. But you know,
but that's
like,
what. But
he's smarter.
But you. Yes. But it's totally part of his villainy that he has all these servants, including his kaiju.
It's wrestling 101 heel work. It's like if you can't beat the guy, cheat. So exactly. So what does he do? He brings out the. Brings out his trap kaiju buddy and boom, there you go.
You're right. I mean, it's like every action movie where like the hero fights the bad guy one on one, and then when the bad guy's losing, like he pulls out a knife out of his boot or something like that.
Except this one, you already know that he has the kaiju.
Yeah.
It's not like
it's
hidden.
Yeah.
No.
Why don't we?
I was gonna say, is it time for
spoilers and all that stuff? And
so I'm gonna give the score first. You want to do spoilers?
Yeah, you know what? And I'll go first, and then how about me, then Keith, then Brad? You can finish it out. So I'm gonna give it 3 out of 5.
I will go 3 also, but as Ben knows, I like to do, I will say an affectionate 3. I just had so much fun with this movie. It's funny, great action. I really like
it. I don't think I would see it in the theater again, but if it's on HBO Max, yeah, I'll probably sit down. Exactly. Yeah. Okay, Brad, sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's good. And I agree with you. I was bouncing off two numbers. I think I'll make it a clean sleep. I'll go 3 out of 5, too. It's okay. Just, it's
so
like.
What were you flushing between? 2.5 or 3.5?
3 and 3.5. It's a big dumb fun. I mean, you don't have to think too much. You just get to see monsters beat the crap out of each other. So,
Rotten Tomatoes,
critics and audience. Keith, what's your thoughts?
All right, I think everybody liked this, so I'll go 75 on the critics and 80 on the fans.
All right, Ben.
I'll shoot a little lower on the critics. I'll go like 64% for the critics and fans. I'll go like 82.
All right. Ben, you were 10% off on the critics. 54%, 151
reviews. Oh, come on.
I mean, it's a pretty mindless movie. Yeah. It is a mindless movie.
But why do you go to the movies? If it's called Godzilla Kong.
I think they just want probably like 10% more plot.
I guess. But, you know,
everything,
that's still a low score.
Everything out of the mouths of our human actors are to move the plot forward.
Yeah. So. I do have a little something about that later, but okay. Audience, 93%, 500 plus reviews. Okay. So, and the critics consensus, courtesy of Rotten Tomatoes, come to Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire for the sheer monster mashing spectacle and stay for that too, because the movie doesn't have much else to offer.
But exactly. What was it supposed to offer?
How about a subtle nuanced take on socioeconomic politics?
This is not Shakespeare.
And re-examining of the environment and the cost of not recycling. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe that's what they want.
The government trying to hide things and take over things and blah blah blah.
Well, you're right. But we've had serious Godzilla movies. I like those too.
Yeah. So, like I said, I mean, it's big dumb fun, and critics don't like big dumb fun.
They often do.
They do.
I'm still weird about that. That seems odd to me. But anyway,
peek behind the curtain. We're recording this on Saturday, so Brad doesn't have the full range of the box office, but you have some.
I have some numbers. So I'll give you three numbers: $10 million opening day, which is
Thursday. The preview.
Thursday.
That's pretty
day.
Stunning.
Yeah, pretty darn good. Friday, $37 million on Friday. So that includes us three. So. Mm-hmm. And 3-day estimated total at $75 million.
So it's going to come very close to 100.
Yeah.
That's great.
So, next closest, I believe, was Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. And I don't have the number on that on top of my head.
That's okay.
That's fine. It's just
$100 million Godzilla movies is exactly what we needed.
Yeah.
So perfect.
So. It's enough to make another sequel. So.
Oh, they will. They'll make 5 more of these.
I appreciate. I read a small interview with Adam Wingard, the director. He directed the last one, and just like the last one, he basically didn't take for granted. You know, when Godzilla vs. Kong ended, he was like, "I don't know if they'll have another one. So if it ends here, it's all good."
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with this one. If this one ends,
it wraps
like
up
this, yeah. Why don't we do spoilers? I mean, there's not a lot of spoilers because
there's a big one.
Yeah.
I would just say, you know, if you go in like we've all said, and you just want some kaijus, including Godzilla and Kong, to fight.
Yeah.
Then you're going to get your money's worth.
Yeah.
But you just got to sit through about 45 minutes of...
I will say, before the spoilers, I did appreciate, though, when they unraveled the mystery of the kaiju we won't mention until the spoilers come on.
It was fine. I was surprised.
That was enough to keep me going. You know, it was a good surprise.
It was a surprise. Because, I mean,
Brad, you didn't spoil it, right? You didn't... You were surprised by the arrival of the fifth monster, let's say?
The trailer... Yeah, I mean...
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Because the trailer...
You don't seem very excited. I
was
very excited.
I mean, it was fine. I mean, it's just... It was there. I mean, so
what?
Yeah. All right,
let's go ahead and turn
to spoilers.
Because the trailer, you know, kind of says, like, okay, probably our guys are going to team up, and then the bad guy is this Scar King guy. Yeah. That was it.
And they show glimpses of eyes of the teammate of Scar King,
sure.
So,
okay. Okay, why don't we do spoilers then?
All right, spoilers. Turn away! Atomic breath away now!
I was thoroughly thrilled, and if they make another Godzilla movie, I would love to have a Mothra movie. I'm not sure that Mothra is enough of a character to carry a movie, but it's a challenge, and I would love it. What were the people called? The Iwi? Is that what they're
I think
called?
So, yeah.
Yeah, just I really enjoyed the unraveling of how the Iwi have worshipped Mothra and have not really developed Mothra, but basically worshipped Mothra. I liked all that, and when Mothra came in, it gave this movie a serious boost it needed in the middle. Mothra didn't do a lot in the battle. That's why I think there's going to be a Mothra movie, hopefully.
Well, I think the lore, apparently, is Mothra doesn't necessarily fight. I mean, that's the thing of Mothra. It's a...
She's sort of like the moral support slash assist character. And,
but that's why she's more rocket. That's why I love Mothra.
Basically, in the movie, Mothra showed up, convinced Godzilla to help Kong.
Exactly.
And then...
Saved a couple people.
Saved a couple people and shot webs at some of the monkeys. I mean,
That's why a Mothra movie would be a challenge, but I think it would be fun.
So. Yeah, because a Mothra, I guess, doesn't want to kill. That's not the thing.
My downside here is there's a lot of coincidences.
Well,
Bad.
I mean, I got
don't list them all, you know?
I mean, I mentioned a few. I mean... Eileen Andrews basically just reads the plot and conflict for the second half of the movie together.
But it's written out in the ancient hieroglyphs, Brad. This is a movie.
Yes. But why?
Because how would you know it if she didn't tell you?
Well, I kind of figured it out beforehand.
I don't mind that. I like those kind of archaeological movies.
I mean, the battle glove that Kong needs, which
Ben knows, I was bitching about the glove.
Yes.
But I thought that was done.
I knew exactly how that was going to be.
I didn't know.
Because, I mean, I knew it even before the movie came out, because I mean they were hinting at like an ice villain, it was like Kong was going to be able to not use his hand, so he's going to have a glove.
I didn't pick up anything
about an ice villain.
So I thought I saw maybe it was one of the trailers.
You knew more going into this than we did.
I'm just through bits and pieces. Yeah. I mean, the glove just happened to be in Hollow Earth, where the guy just happens to walk.
Well, he explained it though. Wait a minute.
He just happens to somehow teleport in, get the glove, come back.
But
out
who knows about the technology, Brad?
I ain't saying about that. You got the villains bearing down on them. And that walk was probably half the movie. So he somehow books it to the thing. Gets in the ship, books back.
I thought he walked back to their shuttle and flew that back.
The shuttle was all the way back at the
Brad. You are reading way too much into this silly fun movie.
I mean, it's just granted.
Do you really sit there and think these things?
Let me finish. It doesn't affect the movie much because this movie is not about thinking. So there's that. However, my nitpick. My nitpick is they explain the plan where they're going to turn the anti-gravitational thing down.
Yeah.
And then it's just going to be boom, they're going to fall down.
Yeah.
So what does Trapper do? He flies them in a machine in the air.
Well, he's not the deepest dude.
But they all flew in with him. They knew what was going to happen.
That was weird.
Come on now. What were they expecting?
I'm gonna quote what Harrison Ford told Mark Hamill in Star Wars. He said, "Kid, this ain't that kind of movie."
Exactly.
If you're worried about gravitational things, we got it all wrong.
There's a reason why this movie got 54% on critics.
Well, critics are all wet. They need to realize what they're going to watch.
I'm just saying, and I'm not part of that 54%. I like this movie. But I know why the critics gave this movie 54%.
They need to realize what they're watching. I understand, Keith.
But you know critics. We are part of the critics.
You just need to accept it. I mean, it was dumb.
Now, the Titan fights were good. I love the battle between Scar King.
The whole ape sequence, I really
like. Yeah, the Scar King Kong fight, the first one was good. Mm-hmm. The Godzilla and Kong team up against Scar King and Shimo.
Yeah.
Which is the ice
is
dragon.
Is that the name of the...
Yes. Ice-like armadillo-type creature.
The brief, quote-unquote, epic battle between Godzilla and Kong.
I don't need to see a half-hour battle.
No. Yeah. It was fun. That was fun, though. You know, I mean, Kong is very confused.
Yeah. I love the final fight. It was a tad bit anticlimactic, though. But I mean, I could see why, though.
Yeah,
it made common sense. Exactly. So,
and I don't think we have said enough about Baby Kong. Is great.
Baby Kong is so funny. I kind of mentioned it already, but I really love the interactions between Kong and Zuko.
Oh yeah,
the baby ape Diddy Kong.
That made the movie. The humor is really what made this work. Yes, otherwise, we'd have been too dumb.
That's what I'm saying. Kong can carry an entire movie silently.
It's like the traditional enemies to reluctant friends to good friends to mentor mentee. I mean, it's very well done. And last thing, and I'll get off my scope box here.
Is this another nit?
No, this is something I really loved. I love the music. Oh, okay. I love the music selection.
You would. I mean, I don't even hate it. I'm not even hating on that.
It seemed a little random, but I can see why.
The random one was Lovin'. I Was Made for Lovin' You by Kiss. Yeah, when they're bringing the damn Battle Glove in.
That was funny.
I'm like, okay, cool. I could deal with Kiss, but what's this song have to do with the Battle Glove?
Well, that's what makes it fun.
I think that's just Dan Stevens' character. He likes that song.
Now, Golden Air and Twilight Zone, when they were going out there, that was done very well. I thoroughly enjoyed that. I started singing that.
That song always works.
I started singing it, and I saw the corner of my eye. I think the kid was looking at me like I was weird.
I got to quickly ask, Brad. So you're in the theater.
Yes.
People are sitting all around you.
Yeah.
You say out loud about the suplex. You sing along to Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Were you annoying everybody around you?
No. I mean, the suplex, I just made one comment. I was like, that's a nice suplex.
What about your singing?
The singing, I had the kid that was like sitting next to me. I think he gave me a look, but I mean, it is what it is. I mean, so be it. I mean,
little kid was like, are we going to have a problem here?
Yeah.
Seriously.
So... I mean, he stopped after I stopped singing, but I mean, it's amazing. I really love the music selection.
Yeah, I agree. It was very fun.
I don't mean to take away from you.
No, Brad, you always have a lot to say.
There's not much really more to say. No. It's just, you know, you watch this movie, entertain yourselves for 2 hours. Really an hour, because the first hour, like I said, is
boring. And the movie was only like a tight hour 50.
You know, I mean, we're in spoilers, but not spoilers. You know, for those who... care, there's no mid or post credits, so once the credits start rolling, you can
leave. And the cast only takes about 2 seconds to show.
Yeah. I didn't even stay for the cast. I just boogied out. So
yeah, well, they only have 4 cast members beyond the Iwi. So
I mean, I guess the other people just hat tips. Your girl Keith from like Hunt for the Wilder Beasts, a Taika character. She was like the person.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I forget what her name is. And then the kind of ill-fated last member of the crew.
Oh, yeah.
He
was pretty good.
That guy was, I don't know what his name is, but he was in Andor. He's been in a bunch of stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
He was funny.
Yeah.
He fit the spirit of it.
Until it got ate up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was...
Somebody has to die.
Yeah, somebody has to go. Somebody's
it wasn't going to be one of the big four.
Yeah, somebody's got to be eaten by a monster, so...
And you guys, like, I mean, I didn't miss Millie Bobby Brown.
Not one bit.
Yeah.
I love Millie Bobby Brown, but no. She didn't fit into the spirit of this. She wouldn't have.
Yeah. Well, because she's... Well, she's Team Godzilla, right? I think that's her...
Yeah.
And this is a Kong
movie.
She
was totally obsessed with Godzilla.
Yeah.
I mean, it was... and who was the dad again? I'm trying to remember.
Chandler.
Coach. Yeah.
Chandler.
Oh, Kyle Chandler, there you go. So,
he was good in that.
Alex Ferns is McHale.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
I'm trying to find the other one.
That's okay.
That's all right. Don't worry about
director.
It.
Director, I can't remember.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we should wrap this episode up.
I agree.
It's not worth the energy to look it up.
Right? No, it's not.
So, okay. So, Keith, you got plugs?
Sure. You can reach us at moviesandameal@gmail.com. Movies and Meal on X/Twitter, and just listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcast.
Okay, so for this episode of Movies and Meal, I'm Ben.
And Keith.
Spread. Peace.
Okay. All right. Happy Easter.
Yep. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Bye.